Guild Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck.
And welcome to our number two, a Football Friday. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. If you would like more information how you can join their winning team, go to the website, goggincold.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 5:35, Eric Bacharach. He covers the Titans for the Tennessean. But right now, like we love doing every Friday at this time, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com as we look at some of the bigger college games and NFL selections as well. Lee, hope you've had a great week, and as always, welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll let you know for sure about 11:15, 11:30 when the Miami game's how I'm doing.
Hey, by the way, all three of us, you, myself, Alan Bell, we were a combined 11-4 last week. Just throwing that out there. We had some
not too bad.
We all had very impressive records. Let's see if we can keep that going as we figure things out. Are you having, you know, for me, I'm having still a difficult time with the NFL. Like last night, I had the Giants plus the 17. Looking really good there going into the fourth quarter until that last touchdown scored by the Patriots.
That was a tough loss. So, yeah, I had Tennessee. I think they were the right side last weekend in the NFL. Also, Air Force, you got to feel pretty good when you score a touchdown with 2 minutes to go against Navy, who can't throw the ball. But, you know, they usually even out in the long run. So, still feeling good about the year.
All right, let's get things started. Alabama, a 17-point favorite against Texas A&M. I mean, the interesting thing when you think about Alabama, this will be their first game playing as a number one this year as they bypassed and went over Clemson 2 weeks ago. So Alabama, 12 straight years at least being number one for 1 week. And the interesting thing about that, the number two longest streak ever was the Hurricanes of Miami. Speaking of your Hurricanes, they did it 7 weeks, or 7 years rather, from 86 to 92. 12, I mean, think about the consistency we're talking about. A team like Alabama in this situation, and now here's Texas A&M trying to find a way to bring down the Crimson Tide tomorrow. Five straight losses for Texas A&M going up against the number one team in the AP. This will be the second time this year they're trying to accomplish that. Earlier this year, remember, they lost on the road against Clemson. I just look at this matchup, and I just don't see Texas A&M with enough to slow down what Alabama is doing. First of all, I don't think they can keep up as far as the scoring. Kellen Mond is not Kellen Mond of last year, and I think that's going to be the difference, where Alabama just scores enough with Tua Tagovailoa there, and the fact that A&M just, I mean, they might have some success, just not enough. And so because of that, I'm taking Alabama and giving the 17. Alan Bell going the other way. The A&M, as far as the last two seasons, 2-0 against the spread against the Crimson Tide. So he feels like with that small little window on his canvas, he feels like A&M can make it three straight. So he's going with the Aggies plus the 17.
So I just can't go with Texas A&M, and I just, whenever I watch their game, I've made a couple, I'm taking notes, and the notes that I write down is they're average. And I just thought that they would be further along. You know, the first year, Jimbo Fisher started really turning them around. They almost beat Clemson at home. That was their signature game, even though they did not win the game. In the bowl game, they routed, I think, NC State. So I'm just not buying in on this team. They lost their starting running back. Kellen Mond's not progressing. The top four receivers, none of them have averaged over 14 yards of reception. They have a bunch of Jags at receiver. Just another guy. Alabama 48-21.
All right, next up, LSU. And for the second straight week, we're talking about Florida involved with the biggest game of the week. And last week, it was their win against the Auburn Tigers. So this week, a matchup of two teams ranked in the top 10, LSU They're at number five. The Florida Gators moved up three spots to now number seven. And the thing is, everybody's bragging about LSU, and I get it. You know, that one stat, the fact that already this year in their five games, 26 touchdown drives in less than 3 minutes. They only had 23 the entire whole year last season in 13 games. This will be the first defense, however, that LSU will have to encounter. And it's not like I'm with Florida. And look, I don't like Florida. I know you probably don't either, being a Hurricanes guy. But the bottom line is, on defense, it's not just what they are able to do to slow down running attacks. It's what they're able to do to slow down passing attacks as well. They keep their opposing teams off the scoreboard. I expect LSU to win this game. But 13.5 points, I don't know what they're looking at as far as this matchup. I expect LSU to win 7, maybe to 10, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than 13.5. So I'm taking the Florida Gators plus the 13.5, and Alan Bell going the opposite way. He feels like LSU is better. They got a better quarterback. They're at home. And so to go along with that, plus Florida coming off that emotional win last week against Auburn, he's taking LSU, giving the 13.5.
You know, at first I'm like, this is a gift. Florida, better defense, getting double digits. But here's the thing. Florida, and I respect them, I undervalued them, they're really good at home. They routed Tennessee. They dominated Auburn. They were the better team. But on the road, they were one play away from losing to Miami and also Kentucky. Kyle Trask's situation with his knee, his sprained knee, you know, he gets, you know, tweaked and he's done for the game, and then they're probably done. And Florida won last year in the Swamp 27-19, so I think it's a circle game here for LSU. I just think that the Joe Burrow still, I mean, though I see differently, with Joe Brady tutoring him, coming over from New Orleans, this passing game, I mean, it looks like he's playing 7-on-7 with a loaded deck. Just everything slowed down for him. I think LSU pulls away late, 31-13.
All right, next up, the Clemson Tigers at home, giving the Florida State Seminoles 26.5 points. Finally, for this first time, it looks like Clemson is showing some emotions there. Really testy this week. Didn't like getting bumped out of the number one spot. Don't like being asked about injuries to Trevor Lawrence. Everything from an emotional standpoint, it seems like there's some anger building up there in Clemson, and it's time to, okay, you think there's something wrong with us? Let us just prove you wrong as far as that's concerned. And unfortunately for Florida State, I think they're going to find that out tomorrow. Plus, you know, Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, just knowing what the beatdowns were like about 5 or 6 years ago with Jameis Winston at quarterback, they have never forgotten that. Dabo Sweeney has never forgotten that. You know, Clemson could be up 49-0 at halftime. I understand Florida State been playing better. You can throw in the mix that they do have, quote-unquote, an offense at times. But I just think this is a breakout game for Clemson for 2019. They had that near miss against North Carolina last time out on the football field. I don't think there'll be any near misses as far as this matchup looking ahead to tomorrow afternoon as they take on Florida State. I think Clemson wins big, and I mean big, as they take care of business against Florida State. So I'm taking Clemson, given the 26.5. Alan Bell doing the same thing.
I'm on the other side. I think that Florida State, this could be the best offense that Clemson's seen so far this year. How about this stat? Clemson last year, plus 7 in turnover ratio. This year, minus 1. Florida State last year, minus 11. This year, plus 5, turning things around. I think Jim Leavitt helping out the defense, big, big improvements there already. And the host team, just 3-6 against the spread the last 9 in the series. Clemson wins 42-28, but Florida State covers.
All right, before we look at the two NFL games, for those that are listening for the first time and going, hey, Lee, how can you help me out? Here we are in October. What can you do for them?
Well, it's not October here at Paramount Sports. It's Locktober.
So I like that.
we've been doing extremely well. Only went 7-5 for our clients last week, but I rate my games from 10 to 50 units, and over the last 2.5 years, we are over 64% on our 30 to 50 unit plays. So that's where you make the money. It's not just a winning percentage. Went 7-5 last week, but hit on our big play, college football. We had Virginia Tech They were getting two touchdowns. They won the game outright over Miami. And then NFL, we had Minnesota over the New York Giants. So they want to hop on board 3 weeks of action from now through the end of the month. Just put in coupon code SAVE100, $297, Locktober at ParamountSports.com.
Lee Sterling once again with ParamountSports.com joining us. All right, let's move to the NFL. First up, Kansas City, the Chiefs at home taking on Houston. And, you know, I was watching the game last week, Lee, and they're bragging so much about Patrick Mahomes as Kansas City. Looks like they were trying to take control against Indianapolis until they didn't. They didn't score the rest of the way. So I think with the way they played last week, they have Houston coming to town. And look, there's no offense against Deshaun Watson, but first and foremost, you got to protect him. I mean, he's on pace. You know, you thought it was bad with David Carr and the sacks that he was getting. I mean, Deshaun Watson has to be protected. And you look at this Kansas City matchup where I think they're certainly looking to bounce back after last week. I think there'll be a lot of points in this game, you know, 70 plus probably in that neighborhood. I think Kansas City gets into the 40 plus range themselves. I like Kansas City in this matchup. I'm giving Houston the 4. And Alan Bell feels the same way. By the way, he was bringing up something, too, as far as with the line, as it's been dropping all week. I mean, what do you make out with the way that the public is looking at this game?
You know, it's what happened last week, and Kansas City lost. You know, they were beaten up. But sometimes it's just all about matchups. I mean, Indianapolis really matched up well with Kansas City. And then Mahomes gets hurt in the game. That added to everything. They wouldn't have covered, but they might have had a chance to win. But he was ineffective. So I just think that the matchups doesn't favor Houston. You got to use that ground and pound if you want to beat Kansas City, keep the ball away from their offense. And Hill's going to be back for Kansas City. It looks like Mahomes should be close to 100%. Give me Kansas City. I haven't won in the game by 10 points.
All right. Next up, Tennessee, the Titans. You know, up and down. You know, that's what you get out of mediocrity, and that's what we've seen out of Tennessee. The question will be, what will we be talking about on Monday as we were bragging about the team after their performance against the Falcons to now go back the opposite direction against the Buffalo Bills this past week? And the same thing can apply. You can just look at weeks over the last 3 years, and that's what you get with the Titans. So this is a week that not a lot of optimism there for the Titans after they played so badly against Denver, the Buffalo Bills last Sunday. And look, I don't think Denver is bad as everybody thinks they are. You know, they're not going to the playoffs or anything like that. But I think this will be a tough contest for the Titans. But, you know, this is a game that the Titans will find a way to win. And it's because no one's expecting them to do so. And the last five times they've gone into Denver, the Titans have lost going into Mile High Stadium. This is just a matchup that screams Denver to win the game. That's why they won't. So I'm taking the Titans plus the 2. Alan Bell's on the same side. He's taking the Titans as well.
Going the other way. I'm going to go with Denver here. I know Chubb's out, but they've still got some pretty top-end defenders on this team. And Von Miller, defensive end Derek Wolfe, cornerback Chris Harris. And their offense starting to get it going. If they're able to run some, I think they'll be effective. Here's what bothers me about Tennessee. They just can't get chunk plays. And you can't just go down the field and score 4 or 5 times when you're getting 5 yards, 3 yards, 8 yards. Something's going to happen. Turnover, penalty. Bad teams seem to get penalized more than good teams. And then on top of that, coaching. You know, I know what kind of coach after a kicker's missed 3 field goals sends him out for a 4th field goal more than 50 yards. Go for it. So don't love Denver, but like Tennessee even less. Give me Denver to win this game here 27-20.
And before we let you go, the game of the week, Mississippi State on the road to take on Tennessee over in Knoxville. The Bulldogs, a 6.5-point favorite against the Vols.
Yeah, they want to get this game. Just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741. First 10 callers will give them the game for free. And they want to hop on board for not October, Locktober. 3 weeks of games, and we rate them from 10 to 50 units. We have a rare 40-unit selection going in the NFL on Sunday. So we're a documented 39-15 on these games, going back the last 11 years. Not many people or services that do what I do document all their plays, but they're all on the website at Paramount Sports under Purchase Picks, where you go to the recent results and see every game I've given out the last 5 years. So big play for me, and we're going for 40-15 record on these plays. It's all available, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, as always, hope you have a great weekend. Happy football winnings to you, and looking forward to talking to you again next Friday.
You too. See you, Johnny.
Thank you. Lee Sterling once again with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. And if you need that number again, it's 800-400-9741, 800-400-9741. Coming up at 5:35, Eric Bacharach, he covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Coming up next, open segment. Feel free to weigh in. Which college football team or game has your interest? What about the NFL landscape on Sunday? Feel free to give us a call now, 615-844-5600. By the way, we will have the early game on Sunday afternoon as Baltimore, 3-2 on the year, playing host to the Cincinnati Bengals. 12 o'clock kickoff for that one coming up. 11:30, by the way, as far as pregame coverage. That's on Sunday morning. All that right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still a little bit of rubbernecking going on from that earlier wreck up on Vietnam Vets there near Conference Drive going westbound. Heavy on the South Loop, the West Loop, Bell Road, Hickory Hollow Lane. There was a crash tying up that intersection. It's busy now as you leave Nashville on 24 headed out towards Murfreesboro. The 40th annual Oktoberfest in Germantown is going on now through Sunday. Don't miss it this year. Check it out, thenashvilleoktoberfest.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Powerball is throwing the ultimate party, and one lucky winner is going to win $1 million. Introducing Powerball's New Year's Rockin' VIP experience. You and a guest could take the trip of a lifetime to New York City, packed with exclusive access to the biggest events in town. Plus, you'll receive an entry for a chance to become the first Powerball millionaire of 2020. Announced live on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. The only way to win is to play Powerball, so get your ticket today. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Visit tnlottery.com for details. Please play responsibly.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Larson snaps a 75-race winless drought to pick up the W in a playoff race from Dover. Up next is that little wild card race we like to call Talladega Super Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Petty, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And be sure to check us out at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to weigh in on this Football Friday. If you're making your way home, please be safe with all the rain now in the area. Light sprinkles in some areas, heavier in others, so just be safe. Make sure the headlights are on as well. Hey, by the way, I'd like to invite you to check out our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show tomorrow morning and every Saturday morning during the college football season from 10 a.m. to noon. College football insights, not only in the SEC, but also top 25. Great interviews as we preview some of the bigger games on the landscape. And then starting with the 11 o'clock kickoff, scoreboard updates as well. Big thanks to our sponsors making it possible each and every Saturday to bring this coverage to you. Brought to you by Tennessee Highway Safety Office, along with Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, Klein Preston Law Group, and Lanham's AC Service. All that and more coming up tomorrow morning and every Saturday during the college football season from 10 a.m. to noon right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Jay, looking at some of the other games this weekend as far as the NFL landscape, you know, we're talking about what's in store for the Titans on Sunday as they travel to take on the Denver Broncos. And once again, they're winless there in their last five outings going to Denver. But you look at the AFC South standings. You know, here's Houston and Indianapolis at the top with 3-2 records. Jacksonville and the Titans, they're one game behind, both 2-3. Indianapolis this week, they have the bye week. They'll be back in action again coming up next week as they play host to Houston. But as far as on Sunday, there's some interesting matchups. How about the fact that somebody has to win a game finally between Washington and Miami? The fact that we are this late in the season, week six, right? And finally, one of these teams are going to get their first victory. The Dolphins 0-4. They've already had a bye week, taking on the winless Redskins. Washington 0-5, fresh after firing their head coach in Jay Gruden. So something has to give. You know, there's parts of me, knowing that the Redskins already have quote unquote their quarterback, right? There's parts of me that wants the Miami Dolphins to win this game, mainly because, you know, who knows how this plays out as far as draft order, right, later on, as far as the end of the season. So maybe this would be a good opportunity for Miami to win one finally, and who knows how this all plays out, if this turns out to be an ugly season for the Titans.
Well, I mean, that is true. But the thing is that one of these teams could possibly go 0-for on the season. And we hadn't had that since the Detroit Lions. And so it should be – I think it's going to be one of those games where it'll be very lackluster, but – I think the Dolphins will come away with a win there.
See, I'm going the other way. I think Washington will win, and the Miami Dolphins will continue their losing ways as they march on to the potential of doing what you brought up, we've seen the past, what Cleveland did, right?
So Cleveland
had, yeah, the offer as well. Some other interesting matchups. First of all, we already talked about this with Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports, but the 4-1 Kansas City Chiefs hosting the 3-2 Houston Texans. And look, we know the Titans still have to face Kansas City down the road on the schedule. And so if you're the Titans, you're looking forward to seeing Kansas City to take care of business at home against the Texans. And this is, the five games that we looked at this week. It's the only game that Alan Bell, Lee Sterling, myself, we're all in agreement with. We all feel like Kansas City not only will win this game, but they'll cover as well. That's why we're all taking Kansas City, giving Houston the 4 in this matchup, game being played at Kansas City.
Yeah, I like KC in this one. I mean, Houston, they're just not the Houston that we've known. Now, they're still good, 3-2, and probably still, you know, got a better offense than the Titans do, but that defense without Jadeveon Clowney anymore, you know, that defense is just kind of lackluster, like I've said before. But I think KC will win this one probably by, I'd say, 10 points.
Well, the problem for you look at Houston, you know, they just don't have the same kind of weapons that Kansas City has. Plus, the other part that I brought up with Lee, I mean, the fact that they're on pace to flirt with the record set when David Carr, Derek's brother, remember when he was sacked 76 times? Mm. Deshaun Watson, you know, when you're flirting with that record, that means you're going to be suffering a lot of bumps and bruises, right? So we'll see how that pans out as the season progresses. The important thing for Kansas City is just to get Houston off the field. They need to not be out there for long drives, per se, especially as far as number of plays are concerned. So it's important for Kansas City to be effective in third down situations, make it third and long so they can get off the football field. Seattle, this is one of these tough games. When I looked at it, I'm thinking, here's Seattle, 4-1 at a, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you can't say they're hyped up like they were. I think people have jumped off that bandwagon real quick. But you got Cleveland, 2-3, hosting the 4-1 Seattle Seahawks. So just when you think, okay, I like Russell Wilson, I like the Seahawks. This is, I mean, you know, if you take away Patrick Mahomes' name, for example, Russell Wilson, what he's been able to do so far in his first five games with the Seahawks, we're talking about the kind of numbers that will put him in the conversation for the MVP.
Right.
And so you see this matchup, and it looks like a game that Seattle, well, yeah, the way Cleveland has been so erratic, that Seattle can certainly go into Cleveland and win this game. Just when you start thinking along those lines is when we'll get the opposite to happen and the Browns will take care of business.
I don't know. Browns' defenses look very bad, and their O-line is terrible. I don't know what it is with O-lines in the NFL this year. I mean, there's not that many good O-lines anywhere, it seems like. But I don't know. I just feel like Seattle just has a better offense, better personnel on defense. I just feel like they'll take care of business with Cleveland. But I've seen worse.
Another interesting matchup is the fact that it's the battle of backup quarterbacks. The Saints, 4-1, you know, so far they don't seem like they've missed too much of a beat with Teddy Bridgewater in there. They're going into Jacksonville. We know all about Jacksonville and the defense, right? And maybe Jalen Ramsey plays, maybe he doesn't. It looks like he's leaning towards playing coming up on Sunday. And then you talk about the play so far. Surprising, shocking, whatever words you want to use to describe the way Gardner Minshew has played so far at quarterback for the Jaguars. Nobody saw this coming for the sixth round pick. Same pick, by the way, 199th. That's a magic number.
The exact same pick?
As Tom Brady. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you have Gardner Minshew. He's been the talk of Jacksonville. Like, even when Nick Foles gets healthy, you know, Nick Foles might want to be asking for a trade, because I don't know if not unless Gardner all of a sudden starts going back the other way and regressing, it's going to be tough for Nick Foles to get this job. And it's like, what do I have to do to be a starting quarterback again in the NFL? But, you know, the Jaguars are favored slightly in this ball game, depending on where you look, point and a half. I like the Saints to go into Jacksonville and win a close one. Not a lot of scoring. To me, it's going to be like a 20-17 kind of game along those lines. But I feel like the Saints will find a way to get this done on Sunday in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I feel like the Saints are just a little bit too much. Now, I feel like it'll be more of a 26-23 game. But I feel like Gardner Minshew will have a good game. It just won't be enough.
I look at this other matchup before we go to break, and we'll talk about the Titans on the other side. You've got Minnesota hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, both of these teams 3-2. I don't know what it is about these two teams. I mean, I know they're above-average teams, right? I just don't get, like, any kind of emotions at all about either one of them. Like,
maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
I go back. No, it doesn't even. No, either.
Not even then?
For Minnesota, I'd have to go back honestly to the 70s when Fran Tarkenton was quarterback and Bud Grant was
coach. And the Purple
coach.
Pounders or whatever they called them.
Purple Eaters.
Purple Eaters. There we go.
Purple People Eaters. That's right.
Yeah.
And you had the great defensive line there. But no, when I look at these, it's just like they just don't do anything. There's certain teams or certain players must see. Like, for me, I'm not a fan of Green Bay, but if Aaron Rodgers doing something, I'll stay there. Mm-hmm. When Dan Marino was playing quarterback with the Dolphins, I'm there. Brett Favre, no matter which team you pick after he retired and came back, whether it was the Packers or the Jets or Minnesota, I would pay attention. Just Eagles, Vikings. And look, I know they've got some outstanding players. I mean, I like Dalvin Cook. To me, you can make the argument he may be – if he's not the best running back in the NFL, he's certainly in that conversation and what he's been able to do so far for Minnesota. I just, if I'm watching this game, I'm turning it off somewhere else. I'm just not paying attention to Minnesota and Philadelphia. But it's a nice matchup with very, you know, two solid teams that certainly could be the last team standing in the NFC. But in this matchup, since it's being played in Minnesota, I like the Vikings in this one.
Yeah, and it's going to be outside. It's going to be cold. I like Minnesota, too. Not just that, but just the fact that it's at home. Philly, you just don't know what you're going to get with Philly. And Minnesota's been playing a little bit better as of late, so I got to go with them.
All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk more about the Titans as they venture out to Denver to take on the Broncos. Our good buddy Eric Bacharach, he covers the Titans for the Tennessee, and he's coming up. Don't forget tonight, 6:45 for the pregame. Kickoff just after 7, Innsworth tonight at home as they take on Bishop Sycamore out of Columbus, Ohio. 6:45 for the pregame kickoff, right around 7, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, we're talking about a place under one roof with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. And no matter what time of year, you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. So book your next party or event. From birthday parties to family reunions, you can get more information by going online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations, if you will, in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. An accident involving injuries in Bordeaux. It's there at Hamilton Avenue at Clarksville Pike, tying up traffic pretty good. There's also a crash South Nashville, Mildred Chute Avenue there at 4th. Traffic just busy on all the major outbound routes. We're dealing with rain out here. Give yourself extra travel time. It's the 40th annual Oktoberfest in Germantown, going on now through Sunday. Don't miss it this year. Check it out, thenashvilleoktoberfest.com. I'm Commander.
Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
Yeah, so our email address is print@sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can find us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816. 0816.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders. A place where clients' best interests come first. A place where you have access to local decision makers. And a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Tri-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR SkyCan Forecast. For today, mostly cloudy with a high 82. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy, rainy with a low 45. And for Saturday, it's going to clear up and be sunny with a high of 62. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up at the top of the hour, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline as we talk some NFL, college football as well. This segment being brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Going back to the hotline, chance to talk some Tennessee Titans with Eric Bacharach. He covers Tennessee for the Tennessean. Eric, as always, we appreciate you, sir, and welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on, Johnny.
Hey, you know, so far I feel like you and I have been on the same page as far as what we feel like the Titans are going to do on any given Sunday, and I think we kind of figured them out. So I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't know which way you're going as far as your prediction and the score on Sunday. My guess tells me Denver should win this game, but it's not going to happen that the Titans will find a way to get it done, because that's what happens with a team that's not even good, that's mediocre, when you go the up and down. Which way are you going?
That's exactly my rationale, Johnny, is that the Titans are 2-0 as the underdog this year, and 0-3 as the favorite. It's really kind of simply boils down to whatever you think the Titans are going to do. They have a knack for doing the opposite. On our podcast, our Tennessee and Talking Titans podcast this week, I was on with our columnist, Gentry Estes, and our sports director, Tommy Dees, and you know, I let them kind of make the argument for why they were picking the Broncos, and I said, all you're doing is strengthening my argument for why I'm picking the Titans, and that is, if the team they're playing against has a strong case, if they have some momentum behind them, that's exactly when the Titans like to come in, kind of swoop in and steal the thunder and get it done. So for whatever reason, Titans sort of have a knack for getting it done in these types of situations. They're the underdog this week in Denver against a Denver team that, you know, hasn't been good this year, but is coming off a fairly, you know, impressive win against the Chargers. It was their only win of the season. They're 1-4, so we'll see what happens. But just the fact that the Titans are underdogs, to me, is reason enough to pick them. That to me is been the only sort of thing to grasp on as far as trying to figure out what the Titans are going to do from week to week. They're just so unpredictable that is their one sort of consistency, is being unpredictable.
I remember last year during SEC football media days, when it was held in Atlanta, I was having a one-on-one chat with Gus Malzahn, head coach of Auburn, and we were talking about teams as far as self-evaluation, you know, being able to look at yourself, self-scouting, but also evaluating not only your personnel, but also yourself as a head coach. And he stressed how important that truly is. My question, and I don't mean this to be insulting, but I wonder if Mike Vrabel understands that he's got a lot of improvement to do as a head coach. Your basic game management, adjustments, etc. Do you think he gets that?
You know, I think he's a fairly aware coach. I think he does have that going for him. I agree. I think he's got a lot of you know, room to improve, especially. You know, last year he made a lot of aggressive calls, and, you know, I saw it as a first-year coach, you know, not being reckless, being aggressive, being calculated in his aggression, and making some gutsy calls that, for the most part, turned out okay. And even when they didn't, you know, for the most part, I liked what he was doing. This year it's kind of just been the opposite as far as my thinking when it comes to his aggression. I've disagreed with three big calls, you know, he's made in three straight weeks, and never mind sort of the clock management toward the end of the game in week two against the Colts, where, you know, he basically threw away 30 seconds trying to get trying to draw them offside.
Absolutely.
You know, when that time really mattered toward the end. You know, I disagreed with the fourth down decision in Jacksonville on fourth and six. You know, I disagreed this past week with the decision to send Cairo Santos out for a 53-yard field goal. And honestly, it was even less disagreement with sending out a guy that had missed his previous three. And you know, Vrabel said he had confidence in Cairo Santos despite, you know, him having missed his previous three field goals in the game. And it was just more situationally. You know, it was, I think there was less than 7 minutes left in the game. They were at about the 35-yard line, down 7 points. You know, with a field goal, you're still down 4 points. You still need the touchdown. To me, the decision, I think it was fourth and four, is to go for it there. That's a time when going for it on fourth down makes a ton of sense, the most sense. It's obviously not an ideal scenario any way you slice it, but to me, going for it on fourth down made sense. Even punting it, you know, with the weapon you have in Brent Kern and potentially pinning them back inside the far 5 yard line would have been ideal to going out and kicking a 53-yard field goal with a guy that was over three, you know, to move to within four, which really doesn't help you all that much because you still need a touchdown. So I think the aggression has been too much this year. I think, you know, maybe he's overthinking things or not thinking things through, but it's these crunch time calls that have really started to add up. And, you know, I think he's got to improve in that regard big time.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I miss most about working inside sports, these kind of situations that you just brought up, whether it's Indianapolis or Atlanta, why you didn't kick the field goal instead of going for it when you
right.
go up by three scores, or what happened last week. When you worked inside sports, you knew the answers because you could have those conversations because of your relationship with coaches. We don't know what is entirely going on here. We don't know if this is a Mike Vrabel situation and he's getting advice to do something else and he's saying, no, I want to do this instead. Or if you have a bunch of yes folks who are not seasoned themselves and whatever he suggests, they're not willing to, you know, buck the and get off that horse and say something. So either if we are talking about yes coaches, that's a problem. If it's just a situation where Mike Vrabel is getting the right answer and he chooses a different direction, then, you know, that to me can be fixed. But if it's an entirely thing where everybody's on the same page with all these decisions that you just threw out there, that's a bigger problem.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I definitely agree with that. I think, you know, this coaching staff that Mike Vrabel has in place, you know, has been the same from year one to year two, you know, with the exception of Arthur Smith getting promoted and Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay. And they're a very close-knit group, very loyal to each other. I think you're right. I think the problem is fixable if there's dialogue and discussion that, and awareness. And I think, you know, we've seen some of that after the call in Atlanta, the decision not to kick a field goal that would have put the Titans up three scores late in the fourth quarter. You know, instead they go for a fourth and six, missed that, and thankfully it doesn't come back to bite them. But it was obviously the wrong call. You know, Mike Vrabel the next day, you know, that day he said that, you know, he was being aggressive. He felt like he was playing with house money, which was an explanation that I don't think made a whole lot of sense to anybody. But the following day he came back and said, you know what, if I could do it again, I think I made the wrong call. And I think that type of awareness is important, you know, and I think that boded well going forward until, again, we saw a decision, you know, this past week to roll with Cairo Santos. And, you know, Santos said that, you know, Mike Vrabel went up to him and kind of asked him, you know, do you want this? And obviously a kicker that is kind of on a temporary type situation with Ryan Succop coming back in a few weeks here, he's going to say yes. So, you know, for Vrabel to go to him in that situation, you know, I don't know what he was expecting to hear. But it is interesting to see how these sort of decisions play out and you know, how they're going to change going forward. I think the awareness factor is big. You know, I think with Mike Vrabel, a lot of it is knowing and finding that line of when to sort of realize that a guy, you got to move on from a guy, whether it's Santos this past week or Dory Jackson, you know, another example as a punt returner. He stayed with him for a long time, probably longer than anybody else would have. He has a lot of faith in his players, had a lot of faith in Adoree. You know, he mentioned that that was part of the reason why they drafted him where they did, was because, you know, not only is he a cornerback, but he's a punt returner. But we obviously saw, you know, how that panned out a bunch of times. And so, you know, I think for him, an important thing to learn, and he's got to get better with it, is just knowing when to move on from a situation, from a guy, and just sort of to cut your losses at that point.
Eric, it comes down to this. And, you know, I go back to, you can learn a lot of life lessons from Dirty Harry. Because I learned this as a kid, and it holds true today. One of my favorite lines from Clint Eastwood in the Dirty Harry role was, a man's got to know his limitations. And so that applies whether you're a head coach, a kicker, backup quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and listen, these decisions are coming in crucial moments. I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, the reason why we're kind of dissecting all the possibilities is just because of how crucial the situation is in each instance. You know, it didn't hurt them in Atlanta, but, you know, it obviously hurt them this past week as far as not going for it or even punting it when they instead tried for a 53-yard field goal that missed. You know, in Jacksonville, who knows how that game turns out if, instead of going for, you know, a long fourth down, you just kick a field goal. So, he's got to, you know, heed that advice that you just said, and, kind of improve. And again, you know, I felt last year he was, good with his calculated aggression. I think this year it's kind of gone too far and is honestly at times bordering on sort of just recklessness.
All right, there's a good news, bad news thing. The bad news, the Tennessee Titans, or this franchise, has not won in Denver since 1987. The good news is they've only played twice in Denver since 92. That was in 2007 and 2013. There's a problem, by the way, with NFL scheduling. If this is only the third time in 27 years that the Tennessee Titans / Houston, whatever the case may be, has played in Denver, but that's another story for another day. Any concerns about, I mean, to me, I think it's more mental than anything else, as long as you're substituting. Any concerns about the mile-high portion of this game in Denver?
Probably not. You know, they've got guys like Wesley Woodyard, whose brain they could pick just about sort of, you know, conditioning and all that, and just being prepared for it. You know, Mike Vrabel was kind of playful about all his answers, you know, in regard to that question this week. You know, I think it's a factor. I've never been to Denver. This will be my first time. So, you know, I know it's a thing up there. I don't know how big, you know, an advantage it's going to be. I think if you're the Broncos, that's, you know, a home field advantage when you have a team like the Titans who, as you just alluded to, he doesn't come there, you know, every year or you know, every few years. So I think it's in play how much of an impact it has on the game. You know, I don't think it'll be that huge as far as conditioning. I think, you know, Brett Kern mentioned the fact when I spoke with him earlier this week that the ball, you know, will travel a little farther, and, you know, that's something for him to take into account, as well as, you know, new kicker Cody Parkey, who I believe has kicked there once before, and I think that was in a preseason game. So there's adjustments for those guys for sure, just as there is every week when it comes to, you know, weather and stadium and wind and all these things. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I think Brett Kern, look for at least one 70-yard punt from Kern on Sunday for the Titans. All right, before we let you go, remind the listeners again the different ways to keep up with your coverage of the Titans.
Sure. If you go to Twitter, I'm at Eric Bachrach. And if you go online to tennessee.com/sports/Titans, you can find all my stuff there.
Eric, be safe in your travels. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
Look forward to it. Thank you. Eric Bachrach with the Tennessean joining us. This segment brought to you by our friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs. Check them out. Locations to serve you in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For the entire month of October, try the Philly Cheesesteak Sub with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Good afternoon. An accident involving injuries in Bordeaux. It's there at Hamilton Avenue at Clarksville Pike, tying up traffic pretty good. There's also a crash South Nashville, Mildred Chute Avenue there at 4th. Traffic just busy on all the major outbound routes. We're dealing with rain out here. Give yourself extra travel time. It's the 40th annual Oktoberfest in Germantown, going on now through Sunday. Don't miss it this year. Check it out, thenashvilleoktoberfest.com. I'm Commander.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight, presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. The state's leading dental benefits carrier now offers Delta Vision in partnership with VSP. Protect your eyes and smile with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to learn more. At the halfway point of the season, three teams remain undefeated in OVC play, with UT Martin at 2-0 and Austin Peay in Southeast Missouri at 1-0, entering Saturday's action that has Austin Peay in Southeast Missouri squaring off. UT Martin topped Eastern Kentucky 38-28 last Saturday, marking its third ever victory in Richmond. EKU won the first 20 games in the all-time series, but the past 10 years, the series is even at 5 apiece. The Skyhawks held the Cardinals to just 96 net rushing yards, 142 yards below their season average. Jacksonville State senior Josh Pearson caught two touchdown passes in the team's win over Tennessee State. Pearson, who is on the Walter Payton Awards watch list, now has 26 career receiving touchdowns, most in JSU history and 11th most in OVC history. Tennessee Tech freshman wide receiver Metrius Fleming had 246 all-purpose yards against Southeast Missouri, the second most by an OVC player this season. He is averaging 140 all-purpose yards per game to rank 19th nationally and second among freshmen. He was named the OVC Newcomer of the Week. Jacksonville State quarterback Zarek Cooper was named OVC Offensive Player of the Week, while Murray State defensive back TJ Warren and UT Martin linebacker TJ Jefferson were co-defensive players of the week. Tennessee Tech kicker Haydar Zaidan was named top specialist. All four conference games Saturdays will be broadcast on ESPN+, including number 17 Jacksonville State at Eastern Illinois, number 20 Southeast Missouri at Austin Peay, Murray State at Tennessee State, and UT Martin at Tennessee Tech. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight, presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Unleash your smile power with Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue, wishing everybody a great week of OVC football.
This open enrollment season, roll with a dental plan that gives you smile power. When you need to return a shirt, but the return clerk looks like a tough customer. When you're in the 10 items or less line, with 11 items or more. You need the nation's largest network of smile-defending dentists to protect your healthy grin, so you can unleash your smile power. Unleash your smile power with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Talk to your employer or visit coveryourmouth.com today to learn more.
Oh, wow. What was that?
I think that was a red-tailed hawk. Pretty awesome.
Kentucky is home to nearly 1,000 species of animals, and many of these need our help.
Funding just isn't keeping up.
However, you can help out.
You can help save these species by becoming a member of Kentucky Wild.
When you join, you'll be directly supporting wildlife facing threats across our state.
And there's some pretty good perks for you, too.
To find out more, visit fw.ky.gov/kywild.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up just after 6, Alan Bell. He is now with CBS Sportsline as we look at some of the NFL action, college football as well. Saw this stat, by the way, and you know, you could do a whole hour, just one stat after another. In fact, you could probably do a whole show, each segment taking an interesting stat about Alabama football under Nick Saban. You know, they're back at number one since the last time they played, so they're putting that on the line tomorrow as they are traveling to take on Texas A&M in College Station. This will be the 78th time that Nick Saban has taken Alabama out on the football field as the number one team. 69-8, a winning percentage of basically 90%, 89.6%. He has won more games coaching as the number one team at one school than any other coach in college football history. And here's the thing, it's not even close. You know, he got the 69 W's, right? Woody Hayes at Ohio State, Bobby Bowden at Florida State. Their tie was at second, 40 wins. 29 wins fewer than Nick Saban as the number one team in the country.
Absolute legend, man.
It just goes on and on. Don't forget, coming up at 6:45, pregame coverage. Ensworth High tonight taking on Bishop Sycamore out of Columbus, Ohio. Jonathan Schaefer, Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley on the call, Adam Johnson on site making sure everything runs smoothly there. Jay Henson, you will have scoreboard updates not only at halftime, but after the game, a complete recap of all the big games across the Nashville, Middle Tennessee landscape. Once again, pregame at 6:45, kickoff just after 7, all the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Hour number 2 in the books, hour number 3 coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.